welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi the Next Generation every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
And I am your host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping a two-part episode, season 6, episodes 14 and 15, titled Free Fallen. But before we get into that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
Yes, we will. I have 5 questions this week. Number 1, what is the name of Paige's professor?
The fact that this is trying to freeze now is actually killing me.
The Lord is trying to hold me back today, okay? But you're not out of my trivia. What's the name of Paige's professor?
What is homegirl's name? Is it... That shit starts with a J, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Jane?
Yes, it's Professor Janes. I think it was Janes. Plural. So...
Okay.
Where are Kiko and Suki, and who the fuck are they this weekend? So where are Kiko and Suki?
Girl, I have no fucking clue. I do remember them bringing up these damn names again, though, and still don't know who the fuck they are. Where are they?
You're at Niagara Falls. Which, have you ever been there?
No. Have you?
Yes, and it was very uneventful.
See, I was just about to say, everyone says it's, like, so beautiful. Like, that sounds amazing.
Oh, it was really pretty. I saw that, like, the Canadian side is prettier than the U.S. side. That probably makes sense. I'm not really sure why I did, but I've seen people say that. I did go to the Canadian side. I mean, it's a waterfall. And yeah. I think the issue is that it was very crowded. I think it would probably be a lot prettier without people.
Yeah.
If you could, like, just sit and camp out, and I feel like it was just so crowded.
That's the worst, because you can't even enjoy, like, the view. It's just people.
Right. We did go on a weekend, so that might have been part of the problem. I believe it was a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with my Canadian holidays, but I can tell you that when we arrived to Canada, there were a lot of fireworks. And so we realized that it was a holiday. We actually left. So if you're Canadian or you know Canadian holidays, we left to avoid the 4th of July. And so we left 4th of July and fireworks to then go into whatever holiday was fireworks. But I mean, my problem with the 4th of July is not the fireworks. Anyway, not the point. But so it wasn't an issue that it was a holiday in Canada. But I will say that that was the weekend that we were there. And yeah, it was just really crowded. So I don't know if that had to do anything with the holiday and the fact that it was a weekend. So maybe during the week it would be better. But yeah.
Yeah, people normally ruin things. So the fact that it was crowded would ruin the experience.
I will leave a lot of places if they are unbearably crowded. A lot of people like going to this Chris Kindle market. They're, like, so obsessed with it, but a lot of people will also complain about how crowded that is and how they don't want to go because it's so crowded. So I need y'all to start staying home.
Yes, that is the solution here.
I don't want another COVID, but I want y'all to start acting like.
That was like the best.
Week 2 COVID. Start acting like week 2 COVID. Oh, where y'all were afraid to leave your house and die.
Yes, when everyone sat their ass at home, except for the people that were like, what do they call them? Essential workers. That was great.
And also stay away from me like it's week 2 COVID. Y'all be walking. I sat in, and I know we have a lot to talk about today, but you know, who cares? Whatever, we're here. I was in a meeting at work last week, and one coworker's like, have you guys started having like symptoms of getting sick? And I was like, hello, we're all sitting in this meeting with no mask on, and you're talking about you woke up congested. And then another coworker is like, I've had a sore throat for 2 weeks. And another coworker is like, I did feel a little sick these last couple of days. And I'm like, but like, yeah, we're just, I don't.
And we're still here.
And I want to let you know that the first co-worker who started the conversation did test positive for COVID on Monday.
Oh, no.
So it's like, so you were sick. So you were sick.
We've learned nothing. Like, again, not to go on a tangent, but we've learned absolutely nothing. And it's so concerning. Like, I've been to several doctor's offices just for, like, annual checkups, and like no one, even my doctors aren't wearing masks anymore. And I'm like, that's weird, because you're just around all these people every single day who are in here for probably other things than an annual wellness exam. And you're not wearing a mask. So if the doctors aren't wearing masks, I really have lost hope for just a normal person on a good day wearing a mask because they don't feel
exactly. My favorite part is now that it's like, I always obsessively wash my hands, and my mother has always told me, don't touch your face, don't touch your face. So like, I obsessively wash my hands, and I intentionally don't touch my face. And now it's like, yeah, I do this. And before, y'all thought I was crazy, but now you think I'm crazy, but I can still cite COVID freshly.
Yeah. No, no one learns anything.
So that's where we're at. Not sure. Oh, that came back from Niagara Falls having too many people. What kind of soup did Paige prepare for dinner?
It was a butternut squash soup.
It was. What is the name of Alex's imaginary girlfriend? She's real, but.
I'm like, this is my, oh, meet my imaginary girlfriend. Carla.
Last one. How far away is Banting from Toronto? She gives like a time duration.
3 hours.
Yes. Look at you. I think you got, well, how many questions I asked? 4 out of 5. So what is that, an 80%?
Look at me.
Congratulations. You're passing grade.
Thank you. I remember, because I was wondering why she was willingly driving so far so many times. 3 hours, girlfriend.
Mm-mm, and they called her out for that.
Right, because that doesn't make sense.
Paige was not okay in this episode.
At all.
Any tidbits?
I think the only one I pulled was that this is the first and last time that we see Paige and Dylan's dad. So they gave us a face. I think his name, it starts with an F. Or is it Ted?
I don't even remember that man.
Right. But we've met the mom before. I think we met the mom before when Paige was like going to court and stuff like that. So, yeah, we meet the dad that we don't see again. So there's that. And I mean, we spent a good amount of time talking shit about you people that don't wear masks and are just nasty. So I guess we can just get into the episode.
All right. Let's get into it. So. It's a two-part episode, so I'm going to start with Plot B, Episode 1, Plot A, Episode 1, then we're going to go to Episode 2, Plot B, and Episode 2, Plot A. And so I feel like I start this a little awkward, but anyway. At Degrassi, Darcy is wearing the same bootcut jeans that they are trying to bring back in our year of 2023.
Let it go.
And she's walking by Loser Peter. Why was I wearing bootcut leggings the other day? Because I said, fine, I'll get in on this trend. And one of my kids was like, are those bootcut leggings, Miss Chris Sharp? I wish I could have those. I want a pair too. And I was like, oh, sweet child of mine.
That is so funny. So unrelated, but not unrelated, I guess. In trying to shop for like Christmas gifts for my nieces and nephews, I was literally like, what do they wear? Like, are they into straight legs or are they into like flare? Because when I was younger, it was flare. I didn't want anything that was straight. But now in my at my big age, I think I would wear both, truthfully. But I remember just being so like offended by like straight leg pants when I was younger. So like, what do the kids like? Because I don't want them to like go to school and get made fun of, because then I'm going to have to beat somebody's ass.
I think they... Honestly, I'm just not very fashionable, so I can't really speak on it. And that's all I, you know, you got to know where you don't know.
Sometimes
and I don't
you got to
know.
But that's funny that they commented on yours, because I had the thought of just like, they'll probably like something that's more flared versus like a straight leg.
Yes, a third grader commented and was like, oh my gosh, boot cut leggings? Those are so cool. I want a pair.
That is funny.
All right. Then I just go on kind of a rant about Peter because he's a loser and I can't believe Darcy ends up dating him, because in this moment she brushes him off and he tells her he's going to go browse some of her hot pictures online.
Gross.
He tries to quote the Bible against her, and she tells him that he has the absolute audacity to use the Bible against her after what he did. In case you forgot, he showed her pictures to a 40-year-old pervert online.
Who then showed up to her house.
Right. He says he repents, but does he apologize? I don't think so. Anyway, Darcy tells Peter to read some scripture and tells him to meet her there the next day at 7 a.m. Peter shows up to Degrassi with flowers, only to find out that Darcy expects him to help her to prepare a meal for the homeless, or unhoused, as we're calling them today, and I'm pretty sure... Look, we can call them unhoused, but I always see a lot of things online where it's like, I mean, call it what you want, but the people are still marginalized. I feel like I saw a TikTok and it was like, ah, and the person was like, unhoused, and kind of making fun of our change to shift to language. But anyway.
Right.
If we're being PC, they were helping the unhoused. But I feel like the point of unhoused is to be like, homeless isn't an identity. So I feel like, how is calling them unhoused? That still makes it unhoused an identity.
Yeah, it's still trying to put a Band-Aid on a bigger issue, so...
Look, he's giving food to people, okay? And wherever they are hungry, he's giving them food. Anyway, Peter looks really pissed to find out what they are doing, but honestly, I just wish Darcy weren't giving him the time of day at all.
Yeah, for someone who literally, like, sold your photos almost, you're like, I don't understand why you're even speaking with him, or why he's even still at school, but that's another issue.
Right. Some old man who is experiencing homelessness speaks to Peter in Greek to request an additional pie, and Peter impresses Darcy by not actually speaking any Greek in return, and it was kind of embarrassing in my opinion.
Right. What was all that about for him to only really just guess? Like,
I was so confused, but all right. Peter then offers Darcy a ride home, and he claims that he did not lose his license because he didn't hit the guy. And I was like, I think that's a lie, but what do I know? I can't remember.
Right, to confirm, right.
To confirm, the police on bikes pull Peter over for what? I don't know. And when they check his license, it turns out that, guess what? His license is suspended. Darcy goes from having an awesome time with a guy who shared her pictures with an online pervert to suddenly being pissed and storming away, and she slams the pie in his face.
I was really confused by that because it looked like they were already sitting in one place before they got pulled over, or like someone rolled up on them. So I was confused about that. And also the fact that she was able to even like get out the car. I don't think they would let you do that if you were in the car with someone.
Just very they pulled confused. Over. I was very confused. But you know what? I'm just here. I'm just along for the ride at this point in time. But not Peter, because he can't drive. On to plot A. So for our plot A, Paige is in a course and she's struggling to keep up with the pace of the exam, and she ends up leaving the test due to an anxiety attack, or whatever it is that we're calling it these days. I don't know. The dorm is enjoying a party while Paige sits alone in her dorm or in her room, surrounded by books with a game of solitaire on her computer screen. A lot of solitaire this episode. She then gives Alex a call. And she actually, like, describes an anxiety attack in her voicemail. I'm pleased with Alex to go to Marco and Dylan's this weekend. Elihu. And then she appears to look very stressed. At the end of the class, the professor calls Paige to the front for a word and horrendously pronounces her name. I feel like she calls her, like, what does she call her?
It Michel? Was, yeah, something. Mikulchuk? Mistlechuk?
It was really bad. And then I looked at it, I was like, I guess I probably wouldn't have known how to pronounce it either. Anyway, it was just bad. Anyway, Paige needs to pass this class in order for her to remain in the program. And she's at risk for losing her scholarship. And the professor doesn't care that Paige is overwhelmed, accusing Paige of partying too much. But then she eventually, it's just kind of like, you know, everybody's not cut out for banting, which really sucks. Paige insists, I am a banting girl, and the professor takes pity, allowing Paige to do the exam at home. She also reminds Paige of all of the other work that she's behind on, and Paige insists, oh, I'm going to get it done. But me, I'm not optimistic, and it's not just because I've seen this episode.
I was just going to say, I feel like in this moment, too, it sets the tone for what ends up happening in the episode or like what we find out. Because I feel like Paige also mentions that her mom went to Banting. And like, that's all we need to hear to understand like why she's putting this pressure on herself. Because like college is like a rude awakening. Like, were your teachers in high school always like, no one's going to remind you to do this in college. Like, no one's going to remind you to do your homework, blah, blah, blah.
All the time.
So it, yes, that's all I heard in high school. So it is a rude awakening. And considering Banting is supposed to be like a top-notch school, you just hear it in this moment that Paige is like, I'm actually just here because my mom was here and I think I'm supposed to do this. But she's literally struggling, like literally panicking and running out of class.
Yeah, I agree. So she's clearly not there for reasons which are self-motivated. She's kind of living up to this ideology that her parents have created for herself. And I think you see more of that in this episode. But we also see more of why she is so high strung and why she does have so many standards for herself, because she believes that like she should be a vision of herself to please other people. And I don't think we saw a lot of that before. Like, I didn't realize that she was such a perfectionist until probably around the time that they were applying for colleges, you know, Banting. I'm a Banting girl.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is not, it doesn't seem like it's working for you, Paige.
At all. Yeah. She got away with it in high school because it was just kind of like, everyone just thought Paige had it together. No one had like the backstory of it. But now it's like, oh, you're literally a people pleaser, a people pleasing perfectionist.
Right.
PPP. PPP loans.
Not you calling her a PPP loan.
That's the name of the episode, is PPP.
Absolutely. All right. So Paige barges into Marco and Dylan's, complaining about mom and dad renovating. And why did I just remember that Dylan is her brother in this episode? Of course, I was wondering who the hell are Kiko and Tsukigi. As we know, I guess they're additional roommates. Marco greets Paige with some dish, and Paige instantly shades his food by asking, did Ellie make this? Because I guess it tastes awful. Alex and Paige catch up after a group hangout and they fall asleep cuddling on the couch. So apparently they're not together and they're just friends. Honestly, the lines are a little blurred for me, and so I see why Paige, why Alex has had enough of her. Ultimately, eventually.
Yeah.
Where am I? But then I was also wondering, if you think that Paige likes Alex because Alex has usually made her, like, look better.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like she says it a lot, not just in this episode, but at other times.
Yeah, her- like, it's a reminder in comparison to our other friends who have, like, stuff going on for sure. But all know that they're not on Paige's level and will give her that. But, like, around Alex, it's like, oh, I really have it together.
Yes. Because Alex does have it together right now, and Paige is like, well, you proved me wrong. And it's kind of like that backhanded, not even a compliment at all. I mean, no, that's like a backhanded compliment. Like, wow, you proved me wrong. But like the way she says it is like, you proved me wrong. Like, damn, girl.
Right. You want her to go back to Degrassi and fail? Like,
is that your friend or not? Paige is having a hard time focusing on her studying because, honestly, it does look like a really crappy study environment. The music is blasting. Marco and Dylan are actively engaged in, like, a discourse in the kitchen. And she is avoiding it by playing yet another game of solitary. I found it to be incredibly relatable. Just learning how to balance being around so many different personalities, but also not really the most ideal learning environment being in college, in like a dorm or a roommate place, especially if you grew up in kind of a quiet household. I'm the youngest. My siblings are substantially older than me, so I was always able to kind of work in a quiet setting if that was necessary. And so that's a pretty big transition, I think.
Yeah, definitely. On top of having to have the self-motivation to study and to do stuff.
Right. I feel like this is a really relatable storyline for the people who go to college and have a really tough time. Because, like, yeah, there's anxiety. There's also difficulty managing, not setting your own schedule. A lot of being independent. I remember I stopped. I was pretty good about, like, attending classes just as, like, a rule follower. But one day my roommate broke down the cost of each college class based off of our tuition. And it was like, so I'm going to every class.
Damn.
I'm actually not missing this because this is a lot of money and that's crazy.
Yeah, wow. I don't think I ever did that, but that's so true. When you put it
Yeah.
like that, yeah, no, go to class.
So, but I think that when you're kind of in charge of yourself, you don't have parents, and you're learning how to be an adult, that transition of realizing that, first of all, you should go to every class because that's where a lot of the learning takes place, but also, like how to manage the work outside of class and how to budget your time and how to focus and where to go if you can't focus in your dorm, such as taking the initiative to go to a library. It's a very relatable storyline for people who do go to college, I think.
Definitely.
Anyway, so apparently Marco and Dylan are arguing over how to make gravy. So Paige asks them to be quieter, but Marco tells Paige, relax. She pulls up a gravy recipe and tells them to use it. When her mom stops by later, she brings some supplies for the dinner, and Paige tries to talk to her, but she brushes Paige off, stating that, oh, I'm in a hurry. Paige ends up having an anxiety attack when her mom tells her that, Paige, you never let me down. Paige runs to the bathroom in her anxiety, only for Alex to fail at trying to cheer her up. And it's like a whole thing. So I guess Alex ends up leaving because Paige yells at her.
Yeah, it was like it makes sense that there's a lack of communication because homegirl's literally having a panic attack, so she can't communicate and she's just overwhelmed. But it's like, did y'all not see? You know what I mean? Like, it's also not up to them to see, but it's just like, y'all, did you not get the message yesterday? And do you not see homegirl like literally can't breathe right now? Like,
Right. But I could recognize that I feel like Paige, I don't think Paige is accustomed to having anxiety issues. So I feel like most people say like when they have anxiety issues and anxiety attacks, it initially feels like they're dying and they think that they're dying. So if you don't realize what's happening, she probably thinks she's dying.
That's
Which
true.
is also crazy that she feels like she's dying. But it's like, if you think you're dying, don't you need to let them know that you think that you're dying?
Right, like you shouldn't be in a closed bathroom setting. You should probably let them help you.
Questions. Anyway, anxiety doesn't really make a lot of sense sometimes.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, Marco and Dylan are arguing over dinner again, and Paige says, you know what? I'm just going to cook the meal. Bad idea, even though she has tons of work to do. It's giving me, in my opinion, oldest daughter vibes in a nutshell, because the way my brothers can't function and I just have to step in and do things sometimes. Just again, as I said earlier, I'm what, 5 and 6 years younger than my brothers, but I be stepping in and taking over all the time. And
I'm sure.
that is exactly what Paige had to do. Where are we? So the guests arrive, and Paige's mom gushes about how accomplished Paige is. And Marco's mom laments, oh, I always wished I had a daughter. It took me a minute to catch Dylan's jokes because he's like, I'm glad you didn't. I'm trying to figure out who invited Alex to this dinner because she shows up with a stranger and they have to add extra chairs, but I guess she was already invited. But, like, I guess Paige assumed she wasn't coming when she got mad at her. Poor
It's
communication.
just, it's the plus one thing though. Like, okay, so maybe Alex wasn't invited by, like, not everyone knew Alex was gonna come, but like, then bringing a plus one is also nutty. Like, why do people do that? And also, why are they hosting this at a college party house? That
It
was
was
my
very
first
confusing.
question.
It did nothing in this episode made sense.
That, and how do y'all still not know Dylan and Marco are dating? But
No, also that.
okay.
Because I was trying to figure out, I was like, have I been paying attention to this? Because where did Carla come from? And how were you at dinner?
Right.
And she's like, I'm at dinner to check on you, Paige, but you brought your girlfriend?
I'm confused. And where did they meet? Because because Alex is still technically just in high school, so we don't know anything about her. They just kept bringing random characters into these episodes.
They tried so hard to make college happen.
Yeah, to make a little spin-off or something, because I don't understand why we've been meeting all these characters like this.
All of the adults start doing this weird thing during that dinner, though, where they're like bragging about everyone's accolades. So, like, Dylan Page is doing this, and well, my Dylan is, he's a great hockey pit player. And Alex starts boasting about Carla's accomplishments. Paige tries to change the subject, and her mom is like, oh, you're just so modest, Paige. I want y'all to not be this obtuse.
Yeah.
Paige's mom keeps badgering Paige while she's cutting the turkey. Like, share, Paige, you wanted to talk earlier. Like, share your announcement. What's your announcement? And Paige is like, no, it's cool. We're not going to talk about this. And while Paige is trying to deflect, the turkey ends up exploding all over her clothes. What kills me is that everyone laughs at Paige.
That was so bad.
I feel like I might be like shocked. And then, wow, actually, now that I think about it, it's crazy. I have a whole second step lesson that I teach in this exact scenario. But anyway, I can imagine myself being shocked and maybe laughing because of the discomfort. But the minute I saw Paige's face, I would definitely stop laughing.
Yeah. Oh, the poor girl. And it's also like knowing, again, these people have noticed something is a bit off with her. Like Alex is literally just here because they just got into an argument. She left that voicemail. It's literally like that literally like that's giving Paige's 13th reason right there in front of everybody.
Oh,
like
my help God. Her. Yes. Yes.
Somebody help her.
So she storms out of the room. People just keep it going without her. She's heavily breathing. She's pacing. She is just going through it. And I think it's crazy that no one went to talk to her except for Marco. Marco confronts Paige to tell her he knows that something's wrong. And he throws a bunch of compliments at her, which only overwhelms her further. And he admits that, or she tells him, I've got a really heavy workload. I have so much. And he's like, yeah, you know, me too. I'm also stressed with work and school. And he's like, Paige, let me tell you something. I get a C minus on my psychology test. And she just looks at him like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm about to fail out. I know that Marco has great intentions, so I'm not denying that. But this is how y'all really sound. It looks like a BetterHelp commercial. That's too bad she don't have a Miss Sauvé. But anyway, he didn't help. He tried. He meant well. And for some odd reason, this convinces Paige that she should actually just drive all the way back to school that evening. And in the closing scene, we see Paige sitting with an insurmountable load of work and really expensive textbooks. And she slides everything into the trash can with a lit candle. And then the flame gets too big for her britches. She looks really stressed. After looking slightly amused, and the episode closes.
Why does she have that open-ass candle? Like, it wasn't even in a pot. It was really just, like, one of those standalone candles. Why is that in your dorm room? Those don't even smell good.
I saw something when it was like, lighting a candle inside is your home is crazy because you're literally lighting a fire inside. And I was like, oh. So I shouldn't burn stuff.
That's one way to put it.
But yeah, that was crazy. Do you have any questions, comments, anything about episode one?
Just the fact that I, again, what the fuck would I know? I recently realized that like Canada has a different freaking Thanksgiving because of work. And someone had like reached out about something that was going on for Thanksgiving. So we're like planning around it. And we're like, oh, November, because they needed something by that time frame. And it was like September. It was like, no, freaking Thanksgiving. Canada's like October 9th or something wild like that. And I was just like, so that's what this episode is weird. Because I'm like, oh, so this must have been in October, not like Oh my God, October, not November.
Okay, but was that Thanksgiving? Because I know that they were having a meal and I thought they were like hosting a nice dinner for all of the parents.
Yeah.
Did anyone say it was Thanksgiving?
They didn't. But the only reason that makes me feel like it is because they were feeding the unhoused. And that's normally like coincides with the holiday. To that capacity, they were doing it.
You're absolutely right. Maybe. They did a pie.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why I'm like, so they would have been off of school. Like, they might have just had a long weekend and, like, Paige would have had time to do her work. But, like, driving 3 hours back is wild in the same night of, like, that event, you know?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Gotta go check out my deleted scenes.
Yeah, because I feel like they never flat out say Thanksgiving. But I'm like, there's a turkey. They, like, they're doing this right. Whole.
That's what I assumed it was, but nobody says it. That's why I was like, eh. Maybe they're just hosting a nice dinner.
Right. So, interesting stuff.
All right, so we are going to get into episode two. We're going to go back to our plot B, where Peter's car was impounded. Do you know what that car cost? $60,000. Peter's parents are rightfully cursing Peter out, but at the school, did y'all have nowhere else you could meet?
In front of, like, the school at that, and that's the principal, but okay.
It results in them arguing over their piss-poor parenting in front of everyone, including Darcy. Daphne says exactly what I was thinking, which is why the hell would you buy a $60,000 car for this boy?
That's a lot of money for back then, too, when you think about it. Given Canada is more expensive anyway, but...
It's crazy. So Darcy looks like she feels sympathetic to Peter, which is wild because no.
Girl, still, I actually don't care what his parents are doing and how shitty they are. He's a trash person.
I do not care. The man is a menace and he's playing the divorce parents' card. Somebody did ask on the Degrassi Reddit if there's anything positive to say about him. And basically the answer is not today, but tomorrow possibly. So like next season and the coming seasons, they said he's really nice to the girls who he dates. He was pretty nice to Emma and he was very nice to Darcy once they became together. And then once you stop, like, 5 and 6 are his low points, but then after that, he stops being so heinous. So we'll see. The best is yet to come, I guess.
Yeah, that's generous.
Darcy bought Peter a bus pass. Crazy. And I'm tired of these fucking cats. Anyway, she apologizes for the pie after Peter never apologized for anything. Peter invites Darcy to the park where he greets her with a bouquet of weeds while he's doing community service.
He stay with community service. Yeah, he's always doing something.
I'm just like, I hate him more than I hate JT. So that's how you know. He invited her on a date to watch him pick up trash.
Girl.
Then he asked her, can you get the Reverend to sign off on my community service from last week? And Darcy storms away. But not for long enough because that bitch will be back. And she is. She does get the signed community service slip, but tells Peter that she doesn't see a future with him because he's on house arrest and she has things to do. I'm sorry. What are my cats doing? I think my cat is going in the gift that I have for somebody.
And oh, no. In there.
No, I don't know what the hell she's doing. She's playing with trash. Anyway. I don't even know where I was. Anyway, so she's like, you're on house arrest. I got things to do. So she walks away. Peter takes...
Girlfriend.
And the truth... Peter takes this as an invite to show up at Darcy's house uninvited at midnight. And she tells him, you should go home. But then they like mildly flirt and I'm just completely grossed out. Darcy and Peter... try to hang out before Peter has to check in with his probation officer. This is all laughable to me. But his mom shows up and tells Peter, you're signed up to talk about the dangers of street racing. And his dad pulls up to remind him that he's cleaning dishes at his uncle's restaurant over the weekend. And he pulls off after making a snide remark about his mom's alimony payments. I feel like his parents don't like him, but honestly, neither do I. Darcy gives Peter a planner to say that she's willing to make it work with him in his schedule of community service and his parole officer. And she tells Peter that if he hurts her, she'll tell his mom. And I don't understand how we decided to make this choice.
How are we still here? Like, he's already lied to you in the past 2 days. He's fully using her. Because, like, if you think about it, like, with this community service thing, like, he's playing into the fact that Darcy saved Spinner. So he's like, oh, yeah, like Darcy will save me because I am going through all these things and she'll give me a chance so I can like really play on that. That's like he's using you. That's horrible.
I understand how she ended up with Spinner because she wasn't present for the incident. She wasn't related to the incident.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we know that she's Captain Save-A-Ho Darcy, right?
Yeah.
But getting with Peter, he's you're the one who he screwed over.
Directly, right. Girl, I need her to want better.
Mm-hmm. Time for plot A. So Paige tries to tell her RA that her computer spontaneously combusted after he puts out her fire in her trash can. The curtains are burnt, and I'm fairly certain that the fire station should have responded to this, but what do I know about Canada? Their RA tells her that she's going to have to live in the common area for a bit, which is crazy. And she starts listing off her to-do list, resulting in yet another exacerbation of anxiety, or whatever we're calling it. Paige did not do her work for class, and she's about to beg for forgiveness from her professor when Alex calls to apologize and gush about her success as a super senior at Degrassi. The professor tells Paige that she cannot make an extension or an exception. Paige's work is still due today at 5 p.m. Paige is in the common room working on her assignment when the RA comments about, "It's interesting that your laptop survived." He leaves, making a remark about how the time is running out. Tick, tock, tick, tock. And somehow she ends up looking for papers online. So I, of course, ask, like, did people really buy papers online?
Girl, you know what's funny is because in my notes, I was literally like, well, if it was 2023, all you needed was ChatGPT and you would have been fine.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. But what people were doing back in the day, I don't know. They had to be some paywalls or something. I feel like someone told me about a website when I was in college that like wrote their paper for them or that they got from there.
I know they existed, but I never would have trusted them. I feel like I've had a lot of people who read my writing tell me that I have a very unique writing style that I'm pretty sure they would have noticed if I did not write an assignment. And I still would have gone through it and revised it to reflect me. But I have one friend, or I know two people who work as professors, and one of them used to always complain about plagiarism being a thing, but I feel like she used to complain because they weren't citing their work. But it wasn't that they were saying it was their own, they just weren't properly citing their work. So it was like, you know, I don't know this information and I got it from somewhere. I just didn't tell you correctly where I got everything from, which is annoying. But anyway, I just feel like it just shouldn't be a thing with time and age, because of course we can check for this at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway, the professor instantly clocks Paige for plagiarism and she gets a zero on the assignment. And Paige tries to tell a lie, but ends up saying that she's going home because enough is enough and she hates it at Banting. Can you hear my cats?
Yeah. It fully took her like turning in a fake 20-page paper though to realize that when she been knew she was over Banting. Like, girl, why did you even pay for the... You wasted your money. Why'd you do that? Did. I just wouldn't have turned anything in.
You had no friends. No friends. You were not having a good time. You're playing solitaire. You're not even partying. You're not having a good time.
No. Try again.
Anyway. So Paige then pops up uninvited to Alex's date. She drove 3 hours for this with Carla. And at the date, Alex is rightfully confused. Ma'am? Alex looks at Paige with skepticism, and Paige is definitely about to get clocked for hiding things. Paige invites herself to Alex's home to crack? Crash. There we go. Crash. She puts her shoes on the couch. And I see that. That was the biggest problem I had there. my cats are killing me.
They are going ham back there.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my, like, if you could see this, it's a fight.
It sounded like someone was, like, busting in the room.
Okay, anyway. So she got her feet up on the couch. She nasty. She's trying to hide stuff. Alex tucks Paige in and Paige kisses Alex, and I think we're all confused.
Whew.
The next day, Paige makes an Alex a breakfast to apologize for the kiss, and she sets out on a mission. I was genuinely intrigued because I had no idea what she was planning on. But lucky y'all, we find out shortly. She tries to transfer to Toronto University who accepted her last fall, even though there was that whole storyline where she said she only applied to Panting.
That's funny. That's a good catch.
They won't admit her without her Banting transcripts, and she erupts into a complete meltdown, complaining about her grades, apparently getting fat, which is crazy because I had just looked at her character and I was thinking about how tiny she was, like short and like she's a small girl. And I get I realized that she was trying to transfer to Toronto to make it look like this was her choice and not because she failed. She was trying to like hide her tracks. Did you know what song they were doing during karaoke?
Girl, not at all.
Because you didn't watch Instant Star. So they're
what
doing
song is it? That's funny.
So they're doing Instant Star for karaoke, a song by Alex Johnson. Hang on, let me go look it up. Here it is, yeah.
That is so funny.
Okay, they had so many bops in this show. But anyway, I can't spend too much time on that song. So, loved them inserting songs from their other show into this show while they're singing Instant Star for karaoke. Paige shows up and she claims that she got a huge scholarship to Toronto and she's moving back home. And Marco and Alex look at her like, bitch, you're lying. And Paige still sometimes lies about Banting. Oh, it just wasn't what I expected. Even though I'm doing amazing, but I just want to return to Toronto.
Girl, like you have nothing to lose at that point. You just need to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree. I mean, I tell everybody, like, I went to school to study biology and then I realized I couldn't pass chem. And I said, well, I guess we can't study this anymore. That's not a good choice. Let's try to change this major around to something that I can pass. I was like, yeah, like the first time I failed chem one, I was like, I can do this. And I got like a B the second time. So I came out with a C. And then I took chem two and I failed it. And I said, I can't keep taking these classes twice. I can't understand. And I said, so the second time I failed a chem class, I said, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
And I know that they call them weed out courses. And I said, y'all aren't going to weed me out, but y'all weeded me out. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. This was not my path. And, you know, it's all about trial and error.
Yeah. And again, all of Paige's friends are like in school or doing something to their degree. Like she's the one still putting this pressure on herself because she's made them feel like, or wanted she's them perfect. To feel like she's perfect. Yeah. Like at that point, girl, you're doing it to yourself. Cause if you would have just been honest, I would have been like, oh shit, that's real. Like we are going to what, Toronto University? It's probably nothing in comparison to Banting's work. We can't even imagine. We understand. Like come live with us, you know?
But yeah. No. And I feel like you have to be able to kind of laugh at yourself and recognize that like, yeah, that wasn't a good choice that I made.
Yeah.
But I'm still worthy. I'm still valuable. I still have things to offer. This just wasn't it. And that's
at all. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So she's in the car with Alex. Somehow, I think something spills. She's looking around for paper towels and Alex discovers all of Paige's failed assignments. I cry because why did Alex call an intervention on Paige?
She really did. Over like grades, which is funny.
So they're at the dot. Paige is living in Delulu, as they say. She's a dizzy ass bitch. I don't know. All these little 2023 sayings.
I'm screaming.
She's looking at apartments and Paige's parents show up. Paige looks at Alex like, what the fuck is this? You told my mom without talking to me. And I'm going to side with Alex on this one because Alex tells her, you've been lying to me since you returned. I knew you were going to continue lying. And somebody needs to figure out what was going on with you because this ain't it.
Yeah.
Which I asked the question earlier. Do you feel like Paige likes Alex because Alex, you know, isn't usually doing as well as her? And she says, I didn't want to be honest with you because you look up to me. So I felt obligated to keep this up. And Alex is like, that's a BS response.
Yeah.
I didn't like it either. Paige admits that she burned down her dorm room and things turned lighthearted again, but I like wasn't really pleased with the conversation. I didn't like how it wrapped up.
Yeah, because again, to go from Alex feeling offended because Paige is pretty much like, I kept this going because, you know, you look up to me, and then them being like, oh, but I burned down my dorm room. Like, what?
Which I did say, like, it's important to be able to laugh at yourself. So I'm glad, yeah. But also acknowledge that you did something that was hurtful.
Yeah, because like for that, I say we didn't need a back-to-back storyline for Darcy and Peter, because who cares? Like, just put more effort into the fact that Paige tried to burn down her dorm room and is lying to everybody about like her school and stuff like that. And then I also had the thought of like, well, who's paying for it? So even if you didn't tell the mom today, they would get a bill at the end of the semester that was like, well, you failed and you owe this. Like, it was gonna come down eventually. So why they brushed over it makes no sense, because Paige was like really struggling in that first episode with like the panic attacks, and they could have mm-hmm. touched on so much more with it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. How disappointing. Anyway, so the episode closes because Alex asks Paige, so what are you gonna do? And Paige looks pensive, and then that's that.
Paige just be doing the most.
My moral was that if you don't sit down, your body will make you, or something stupid. You know what they always say.
Yeah, that's valid. Mine was, it starts with the parents, because Paige's parents, obviously after we meet them, it's clear that's where she like gets all that pressure from. And Peter's parents just like you said, probably don't even like him, and they don't like each other. So that is the result of why he's like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm nodding a lot, and I don't know why I keep nodding, because y'all can't see me nodding. So I approve this message.
Girl, like crazy.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add to this episode.
Nope, me either. God bless.
Next on Degrassi. In an attempt to return to her pre-Bantam glory, Paige goes on a casual date with both Spinner and newly single Jesse, which makes Alex jealous. Meanwhile, Snake isn't comfortable with Sean and Emma's level of intimacy. That wraps this week's episode. Honestly, neither was I. Neither was I. And not be like, nothing but for the reason of their gross. They were annoying. They were over the top. Anyway, yeah. We'll get into it next week. That wraps this week's episode. Are we going to get into it next week?
I just had the thought of next week is Christmas. So you might not hear from us next week, but we might be back in the, not we might, we'll be back in the new year with a new episode probably.
Are we going to be back on the second? Are we going to record on the second? I mean, I'm not doing anything the next day, so I'll be here.
Yeah, I think we'll be back that first week of January, but next week, everyone deserves a break.
Yes. So we are rightfully going to take a break next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. I don't even remember what I was going to say. I'm going to go back. So that wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you should probably just go watch old episodes, because we ain't on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok no more. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts. Or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airways in 2024, whatever it takes. Me trying to find the thing so I can stop recording? Well, where am I?
Oh, stop